Good morning. It's good for us to be able to come together this morning to worship God. And we have that great privilege. And one reason that we can do that this morning is that we are important to Him. I believe that it is good for us from time to time to take a look at God's Word and remind ourselves of our importance in the sight of God. And the reason I believe that that is good for us to do is when we look out and we see our society today, we see, in my judgment, many people who have a wrong view of themselves. And so this morning, I want us to, like the psalmist said, in Psalm 8 and verse 3, when I look out and see your creation, when I consider your creation, I want us to consider our place in God's creation. The psalmist took some time to step back and consider where man was in the big picture of creation. Look at that again in our scripture reading, and I want to call attention to that word consider. Have you considered your importance in the sight of God? Have you considered where you are in the picture of creation, where you stand in all of that? The psalmist said that, I was looking at the heavens and I was looking at the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. What is man that thou art mindful of him? When I consider thy heavens, I want us to consider this morning where we are in the picture of God's creation. And the reason I want us to do that is we have to remember our importance in the sight of God. There are many in our society who have a self-worth problem. They're not considering who they are in relationship to all of creation. And you have one of two extremes. For example, you have those who think too little of themselves. They have a self-esteem problem. This is seen in how many people treat themselves. They find themselves in some predicament, and I just simply want to end my life. They're not looking at the value of their soul. Some people engage in self-mutilation. They cut themselves. They beat themselves in some kind of way. There are those who have what I might call chronic or extended depression. We all are depressed from time to time. But I'm talking about someone who's that way for months or maybe even years. And they just do not have anything to live for, anything to get up for. There are people that have such a low self-esteem that they solve their problems with drugs and alcohol, and they just turn to that and they drown their sorrows in the bottle and that type of thing. I think about Paul and Silas there in the jail at Philippi when the jailer was going to take his sword and kill himself, and Paul said to him, "Do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm." And he ended up being a saved person. There are so many people who want to harm themselves in this kind of way. And much of it is due to a low worth of themselves. This is also seen in how many people treat others. I don't know how many times that I see the daily news where someone is being abused in some kind of way. Rape, robbery, murder, abortion, killing our old people with euthanasia. I don't know how many news stories we're hearing over and over again about bullying and the epidemic and the problem that we're having in our nation with bullying. I don't know how many times I turn on the news and that little girl that was walking to school is now gone and then shows up dead in a field somewhere or in the woods, having been abused by someone and then left for dead. Seems like every day we hear that. Every week we hear something like that. What is going on with that? What is going on there is that someone is walking up to somebody else and treating them like garbage and trash and just some object, some disposable whatever. I'm wondering if some of that is the fruit and the outgrowth of the theory of evolution that has just taught so many that we're just another piece of material creation. There's nothing more to us than anything else in life. We're not special in any kind of way. We're kind of a higher animal form. And as an animal, we just act like animals. And there are animals in the animal kingdom that just go out and do this, and so we find ourselves doing the same thing. We find in Romans chapter 1, turn with me there, Paul describes some in the Gentile world, murder, hateful, inventors of evil things, without natural affection. We don't have this inward love toward that person beside us, and so we mistreat them in some kind of way. And the list goes on and on, filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness. How do we get to that point? We're treating people as just an object, just a piece of property, just something to use and abuse and throw away. We have a self-worth problem in our society. But it also shows up on the other end of the spectrum. There are those people who think too highly of themselves. I think about Pharaoh and the Exodus. Who is Jehovah that I should hearken unto his voice and let these people go? I don't have to answer to anyone. I'm Pharaoh, you see. Who is this Jehovah? The answer to that question actually makes for a good sermon. But notice his pride. Notice his arrogance. Notice his attitude that I am the center of the universe. I don't answer to anyone, you see. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so there are those on the other end of the extreme where they are all that and they don't answer to anyone. It's also seen in people who exalt themselves over others with regard to their human wisdom. Turn back with me to Romans chapter 1, and let's move up the chapter a little bit from verses 28, 29, and 30. Let's move up a little bit to verse 21. This is the person in our society who has a little money, and they have a little education, you see. They have a little brains, and they have a little wisdom, and so we don't need God, you see. I'm going to walk around with my nose in the air, you see, with this high brow looking down my nose at you, and I'm better than you. And I don't need you, you see. I don't need a creator, you see. I am all of that. I am the pinnacle, you see, of existence. And I am man. And I can think and do and make anything I want. Look at what I've made, you see. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings. This is my mind and my brain and my human reasoning, but they become empty and void. And their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of a corruptible man, idols, of birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. We're going to serve ourselves. Look at what we've made, you see. Turn with me to chapter 12. The Apostle Paul says, be very careful about not thinking more highly than you ought to think. This is the person, and you've been around some of them, the snotty, snobby person who knows all that, you see. And I don't need you. I don't need God. I don't need anybody else. Look at what I can make. Look at what I can do, you see. Look at what I can build. We've got to be careful about that. The Apostle Paul says that not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And then come down to verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to lowly things. Be not wise in your own conceits. We have that word conceited. You've been around a conceited person. Well, that to the extreme is basically saying, I don't need God either. And you see these interviews on TV with some of these atheistic evolutionists. And they're basically saying, you know, I'm all that. Look at what we can do in science. And look at what we can do in the area of anthropology and philosophy and science. And we have shown that there is no God, you see. So we have a self-worth problem today. And so I wanted us to talk about the proper view of self in the sight of God and how, as the psalmist said, let's consider for just a moment where man is in that picture. Do you know that you're important to God? And I want us to consider this morning six things. Using that word from Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the moon and the stars, what is man? I want us to consider a few things this morning. Number one, have you considered how you are made? Have you considered how you're made? Oh, you mean bones and flesh? And, yeah? And everything. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 1. We would not abuse ourselves and we would not abuse someone else if we truly understood where we are in God's plan. First of all, I want you to consider how you are made this morning. You are made in the very image of God. You remember on the 6 days of creation? And God comes to the height and the pinnacle of that creation. In verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Man and woman are made in the very image of God. Part of that is our spirit, our conscience. We are conscious. We have a conscience. Right and wrong, we can think and reason. We can love and those types of things. That is coming from being made in the image of God. Turn over to chapter 9 and verse 6. When Noah and his family come out of the ark, they're told that they can eat of those things of the creation, and they are not. They can eat animal and slay animal, but they are not to slay mankind. Why? Because man is made in the image of God. We wouldn't have these stories that we're hearing today about people abusing other people and treating them like garbage and trash and throwing them out in the woods somewhere if they truly understood that we're made in the image of God. We wouldn't do that. But we don't care about that in our society. And here's why. We're not teaching that. What we're teaching is there is no God. You're just made by evolution. We need to get back to teaching that we're made in the image of God. And maybe we would heighten the respect of others in this country. But we're not doing that. So we take God out of school, and we take God out of the courtroom, and we take the Ten Commandments off of this place, and the Ten Commandments off of that place, and we wonder why we're throwing people around in the woods. It's no surprise. We're getting away from teaching that we're made in the image of God. Well, how are we made? Well, we're just a product of billions of years of evolution. That's all we are. Lions do that to other lions, so what's the big deal if we do that? Apes and monkeys do that to other apes and monkeys, so what's the big deal if we do that? The big deal is we're different from creation. We're made in the image of God, and the rest of creation is not made that way. So don't kill. Chapter 9 and verse 6. They're made in the image of God. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, Paul used the argument even from the own Greek poet. Look at Acts 17 and verse 28. He argued that we are his offspring. We are his offspring. Acts 17 and 28. For in him we live and move and have our very being, even as your own parent, our own poets have said, we are his offspring. Being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened unto gold or silver. Even Paul used that Greek argument to show that there's no idols. We're the offspring of God. We're made in His image. Look at James chapter 3 and verse 8. Well, I would never kill anybody. But I'll tell you what, when I get a chance to badmouth them, I'll do that. Turn with me to James chapter 3 and verse 8. Young people, listen up real carefully here. What you're facing in your generation is this. You get the group of kids your age, what do? You badmouth the other kids. Sure you do. Or you text it. Or you get the group and you badmouth them, you bully them, you talk down about them, talk bad about them. And it's easy to get in on that. The other kids are doing it, so I'm going to get in on that. And so you're talking about Johnny or Mary, and you're just really letting them have it for whatever reason. The way they're dressed, the way they act, whatever. Don't do that. Why? Look at James chapter 3 and verse 9. He's talking about controlling the tongue. Therewith, that is the tongue, therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith we curse men who are made in the image of God. out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You don't talk that way about other people because they're made in the image of God. They're not just some object. They're not just some piece of trash somewhere. That's what our society is saying. You know, if we consider how we're made, we'll realize how important we really are. And it'll affect how we treat ourselves, and it'll affect how we treat others. But consider something else. Consider why we're made. You ever thought about that? Here is Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit before eternity, before time begins. This is before Genesis 1:1. They make a conscious decision to create a universe with people in it. What would be the purpose for that? What would be the why of that? There is a reason for that. And that is so that we can turn back and give glory to God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. We will understand that we're really important in God's eyes when we understand that we're here to glorify God. Isaiah 43 in verse 7. Well, let's start in verse 6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone that is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. Why were we formed? Why were we created? Why were we made? For God's glory. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7, man was made in the glory of God. As members of the church, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, it's in the church that we give glory to God. We are here, and in our obedience and in our service, we give glory to God. We have a grand purpose in life. People are running around in our society. They're not being taught Bible truths about their self-worth. They're not being taught how they are made in the image of God. They're not being taught that we're here to glorify God when we get up each day. That would certainly change the behavior of a lot of people. We're not being taught these things, and so we wonder why we have so much of this in our society. Have I considered what we're worth? Where we are in the total spectrum of creation. Turn back with me to the psalm that we had earlier, and let's keep reading there in Psalm 8. Where are we in the picture of things? The psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Let's just stop right there. When someone is mindful of you, when someone is mindful of me, that means that I have some worth. I have some importance. That's why they're mindful of me. They're putting their mind in my direction and they're wanting to care for me. We sang some songs that go well with our lesson this morning. He careth for me, you see. He loves me. He's mindful of me. What is man that thou art mindful of him? God is mindful of us. That shows our importance. It wasn't that he just created a bunch of things, including men and women, and he's off in heaven somewhere not having anything to do with us. He's mindful of us each day. And we'll see how even more so later in the lesson. But look at the next phrase. And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. When someone comes to visit you, that means that they want to be there. There's some importance there. You have friends over to visit. You have family over to visit. Those who come and visit are those who care about you. And so God visits us. He takes care of us. But look at the very next verse. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. This is quoted in Hebrews 2. And crown him with glory and honor. Listen, we're not a rock and a tree and a plant. We're not that. We're above that. We've been crowned with glory and honor. We're the height of God's creation. We're not just a part of it and everything is equal in value. God has a creation and it all works together, but we have been crowned over that. Look at verse 6. You have dominion over the works of your hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. We're not just a rock and a tree and a plant and an animal, and then we just walk around abusing people like that. We have dominion over that. We have been crowned with glory and honor. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We are more valuable than other aspects of creation. All of God's creation is good. And we were told that at the end of Genesis 1. Everything that God makes is good. But He also makes the point that in creation, you have a special place and a special value above those other things. Evolution teaches that we're just at the end of a long series of changes, and all we are fundamentally is just material substances and just sort of a higher form of animal life, but quantifiably really no different than the rest of creation. That's just not so. There is no other aspect of creation that is made in the image of God like you are. And we need to be teaching that, and we need to be hearing that, and we need to be seeing that. And our young people especially are in a generation of just use and abuse, and we need to be taught how valuable and how worth we are. Look at Matthew chapter 6 in talking about putting the kingdom first and not worrying about daily things, food, shelter, and clothing. Let's pick up the reading in Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than the raiment? Behold, the birds of the heaven, that's a part of God's creation. The birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Notice how that through His providential care, He's a part of the animal kingdom. Are you not much more valued than they? Underscore that question. Look at the word value there. Are you not much more value than they? We have to consider our value and our worth. Now let's keep reading. And which of you, being anxious, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? And why are you anxious concerning raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Now we have the plant kingdom. Earlier it was the animal kingdom, the birds. Now the plant kingdom. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. And by the way, look at that word consider and then compare it to Psalm 8. We need to do some considering. We need to step back and take some sober consideration of what's going on here. God takes care of the birds. He's going to take care of you even more. God takes care of the lilies, but He's going to take care of you even more. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But, here's the contrast. If God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow cast into the oven, how much more shall He clothe you, O you of little faith? The key here is not being anxious and not worrying about daily things. God will take care of us. But it's based upon our value and our worth. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. In sending out the 12 to preach the gospel, Jesus told them that they would run into some persecution, some problems, and people would not like them. And so they needed some encouragement and some confidence. Look at what He says in Matthew chapter 10. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father? God knows every movement of every aspect of His creation. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Stop and think about that. If someone were to take the time to count the hairs on your head, do you think that would be important? Who even does that? Have you done that lately? Walk up to somebody and counted their hairs? But if you saw somebody counting hairs, well, what is that? Detail? Care? Taking some time with it? The fact that the very hairs of your head are numbered shows that God knows each and every one of you, knows where you are at every moment, knows every movement, cares for you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Now look at the very next verse. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than the sparrows. No, we're being taught today that we're just a rock and a tree and an animal. And no, we've got to get back to seeing that we're of more value than these other things. These other things are great and they have a purpose and a place, but you're of more value than that. And so God is going to care for you. You're valuable. You're worth a lot to God. And your hairs, every one of them, He knows the number of every one of them. And so the extreme importance and worth and value. Have you considered, have I considered lately, how that God cares for us in every way? Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, when He made Adam. Everything was good, but what did God? God looked down and saw His creation. Genesis 2:18. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a help meet or suitable for him. What is God doing there? I care about Adam. I'm not just going to walk off. I'm going to look. I see that something is a void here. And so He provided the marriage and family relationship. We come to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. God gives us all of our physical blessings. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, He sends rains and fruitful seasons. But not just physical blessings, not just social needs, marriage, not just physical needs, food, but also spiritual needs. Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing is in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness of sins and those types of things. His Word, 2 Timothy 3, makes us complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Do you know how important you are? You are so important to God that He's going to care for every aspect of your life. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, James 1:17. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Not only that, but in the end of time, God has cared for you to make a place called heaven, and you can go and be in that place, and you can rest. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. Do you know how important you are as a Christian? If you have named the name of Christ and you've obeyed the gospel, do you know how important you are? You are so important that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And come Judgment Day, that book is going to be opened, Revelation 20 and verse 12, and the books were opened, and another one was opened, which was the Book of Life. And you know whose name is in there? Yours and mine, if we live faithfully. That's how important you are. Your name is in there. God doesn't forget about you. God is not uncaring and unkind and oblivious to you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when that book is open, He's going to see your name there. And you're going to be judged and rewarded accordingly. What a great thing. When we consider how that He cares for us physically and socially through home and family and marriage and spiritually. Providing a Savior on the cross. Providing forgiveness of sins. Which brings us to our next point. Do you know that you're important to God, that I'm important to God? When we consider how high the price was paid so that we can go to heaven. Typically, the more a price, the higher a price, what? The more valuable something is, right? So, you pay one price for a little plastic toy at Walmart, or you pay a pretty high price for an expensive diamond, right? Two different prices. What? Two different values. Two different worths. Two levels of importance. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and verse 22. What does it take for us to have forgiveness of sins? The very blood of Jesus Christ. That's how important we are. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the church was bought with His blood. To feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. Not somebody else's blood, but His own. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 through 18, it was so important to God to save mankind that He wanted His Son to become man, to identify just like them. Let's read it in Hebrews chapter 2. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. That statement right there deals with importance. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. God chose a plan to where His Son would become like man. That's how important man is. In fact,
Psalm 8 is quoted right before that in verse 7. You have made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. Now look at verse 9. Hebrews 2:9. But we behold him who has been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. For it became him... Now this is showing our value and our worth. It became him... He didn't have to do this. But he and God chose this. It became him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the offer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified, that's us, are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He wanted to come and be like man. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. Verse 14. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same. Why? Why do that? Because I want to be one with these people. I want to come and be like them and save them like them. I want to die like them. That shows our worth and our importance. Look at verse 16. For verily not unto angels did he give help, but he giveth help to the seed of Abraham. Why? Because you're important. That's the whole point of that. He wants to be our brother. He wants to identify with us. He wants to come and save us. Wherefore, verse 17, it behooved him in all things to be made likened unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest, so that we can come to... He came and identified with us. Now we can come with him with our problems, verse 18, and he's there to hear us. That shows how important we are, the price that he paid to come and be like us, be like his brethren, and die on the cross. And then one last passage. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Knowing that you were redeemed, that is, bought out of sin, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. That's how important you are. Higher than any silver or gold, the price of Jesus' blood was paid so that you could be redeemed. And then last of all, have you considered how many people are invited to come and partake of God's blessings? Our worth and our value and our importance is seen in that God is no respecter of persons, and it doesn't matter who you are, young or old, man or woman, black or white, regardless of our color, our race, wherever we are, God is saying, come. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. What that shows is, that shows the value of mankind. God wants everyone. Everyone in heaven. Everyone is important. Everyone is valuable. Everyone is worth. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. I wish we could learn that in our world today, and not be a respecter of persons. But we are. And we treat people like objects and like trash and disposable throwaways. And we've forgotten that we're made in the image of God. And we've forgotten that we're here to glorify God. And we've forgotten that we're more valuable than all creation. And we walk around and we trample on people. And we discard people and abuse people. What a shame that we live in such a world. But our lesson this morning is to remind us, we may not be able to help everybody in the world, but we can certainly help ourselves. And so as we come to the close of this lesson, here's where we want to make some practical application from all of this. Because of our soul's value in the sight of God, number one, I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm just not going to do it. Young people, don't do it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 20, the Apostle Paul says that I've been bought with a price, and so I'm going to glorify God in my body. I'm not going to put things in my body that destroy it. I'm not going to put things in my body that kill it. The context, if you back up to verse 18, The context is using one's body for fornication. I'm not going to use my body in some way where I cut myself, hurt myself, dump something into it, which is common in our society today. Abuse it in some kind of way. Use it as some object of gratification. I'm not going to do that. Why? Verse 20. Because I've been bought with a price. I'm valuable to God. So number one, I'm not going to hurt myself. And number two, I'm not going to go around hurting others. Again, we see in our society today, this, some are calling it an epidemic of bullying, where we badmouth others and we're using social media to say terrible things, making videos about other people saying terrible things at school, with our friends, social media, texting, whatever the case might be. We're saying and doing things to tear other people down. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14 and verse 15. Now, this is a different context, but I'd like to make the application here. The context here is not pressing our opinion and hurting others with our opinion, but notice the statement, destroy not with your meat him for whom Christ died. This is in the local church setting where different opinions are wanting to be exercised, and it's regarding meat and whether we eat meat or not and observing certain days. But the principle is that if we're talking about something that is neither right nor wrong in the sight of God, either one would be fine in the sight of God. I'm not going to destroy my brother for whom Christ died. I'm not going to walk on him and destroy him and tear him down. I'm not going to hurt somebody else just so that I can press my opinion. But that would also apply in other areas of our life. Remember James 3 and 9. I'm not going to use my mouth to curse someone who's been made in the image of God. We need to remember that. That bullying would stop just like that. If we would remember that the person that we're talking to and that we're in the presence of, or who's on the other end of that online conversation, is made in the image of God, we wouldn't do that. Number three, I'm going to get up and I'm going to come to God. The invitation, whosoever will, may come. I'm valuable to God, and He wants me to come and obey the gospel. And I'm going to get up and do that. I'm going to do it before it's too late. There may not be another invitation. There may not be a time. And we know that from Matthew chapter 25 and the parable of the 10 virgins. When the door was shut, there's going to be a time when the door is shut and that invitation is no longer there. I'm going to get up while I have an opportunity and come. I'm valuable in the sight of God. Look at the price that was paid. That blood, and I can contact that blood right now this morning in that water of baptism. And that price was so high that He wants me to be saved. He was willing to pay such a great price. I'm going to get up and I'm going to come and contact that blood. And then the faithful Christians who are here this morning, I encourage you and commend you. You keep living faithfully. You know what? Many people in the world don't care a thing about the way you're living. They don't care a thing about it. But you know what? God does. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Howbeit the firm foundation of God standeth, having this seal, this guarantee. This is a guarantee. The Lord knoweth them that are His. If that doesn't give you a sense of importance, I don't know what would. When you walk out this morning, the Lord knows who you are. The Lord knows who you are. The world doesn't care a thing about you. They don't care how you dress and how you're trying to dress modestly and talk right and live right. They don't care about it. But God does. And the Lord knows those who are His. And He's going to reward you one day for it. And so you just keep living faithfully. And you keep living right. And when the judgment day comes, He'll say unto you, well done, good and faithful servant. I thought it was good for us this morning to be reminded of our importance. Because apparently we're living in this throwaway society that includes human beings. Thousands and thousands aborted every day. Murders, rapes, abuse. We've got to understand how important we are with God and get back to these biblical principles. I'm not going to hurt myself, and I'm not going to go out and hurt others. And I'm going to be right with God. If we can encourage you along those lines, if we can encourage you to come and be bought with that high price through baptism and repentance, we would encourage you to do that. And those of you here this morning who are living faithfully, and I know you are, more importantly, God knows who you are, keep doing that and you'll be rewarded for it because you're important in the sight of God. If you're subject in any way, well, when she comes, we stand and sing.
There is a soul I pray to linger, one to